I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, and Catherine and Caroline. We have a super, super interesting episode today because this past weekend, we put on our first live Girls with Goals events, which was not only a huge milestone for us in the show, but also just such an incredible opportunity to bring a community together. I mean, we have been recording Girls with Goals for almost 3 years now, and it has always been top of our mind, one of our biggest goals to do community events and create something live from the podcast, something that's in person where we can meet people and where we can bring other listeners together. And this was our first time doing that, and it was so incredible. It was definitely nerve-wracking doing something like that for the first time, but we put on an event in Boston at Dre Drinks, which is a non-alcoholic bottle shop. And so we called it the mocktail hour. We sat down, taste tested a bunch of different drinks, and then did a live Q&A. So it was kind of like a live double take that we do on the podcast, except we were actually joined by Julie Law. You guys might already follow her on TikTok and on Instagram. She's an amazing fitness influencer. She goes to UConn. So she's 20 years old and Catherine and I are 21. We're all in college. And she is actively sober and pretty public on her pages about being sober and how that is part of a healthy lifestyle for her. And so it was really, really interesting to be able to have her join our Q&A at Dre, which is this non-alcoholic shop, and be able to give her perspective as somebody who does live her life completely sober in college. And then in Catherine and I, who are of course very health and wellness focused, but are not committed to being fully sober at this time in our lives, but definitely striving to have, you know, a healthy balance and, you know, pretty minimal alcohol in our lives. So I'm going to recap a little bit about what we talked about in that Q&A and kind of give you guys the best bits of information for all of you who weren't there. And then we have an interview recorded with Julie that I'm going to run after this, so you guys can hear our entire conversation with her about health, wellness, being sober, being healthy in college, and creating healthy habits during that time in your life, especially when it can seem like it goes a bit against the norm. Doing this event at Dre was really cool because I've never been in a shop that is completely dedicated to non-alcoholic beverages, and I think it's just really, really cool to see that there's enough demand for something like that in a city like Boston, and I know that there are other ones around the country, that there is enough demand to actually create an entire shop out of that. That's like a really cool thing to think about because you see non-alcoholic drinks, spin-offs of things, and they might be sold at stores. You might see them at a Whole Foods or at a Trader Joe's, but to have an entire store dedicated to this and to see how cool some of these drinks actually are was really, really awesome. It was just pretty eye-opening to the whole world of sober lifestyles, damp lifestyles, kind of wherever you might be in the spectrum, and how there are ways to actually like still have that elevated experience of making a drink, sipping on a drink, and doing that experience, but without the feelings of alcohol and without the maybe negative consequences that you might find attached with alcohol. Some of our favorites of the drinks that were there's a drink called Kin that has adaptogenics in it, and I was really intrigued by the drinks that weren't just non-alcoholic versions of things like, a non-alcoholic beer, non-alcoholic spirits, but things that were pretty unique in their own and actually gave some sort of separate benefit. So there were a lot of spirits, like non-alcoholic spirits that you can mix with things that actually had CBD. There were some drinks that had caffeine. There were a lot of drinks that had adaptogenics in it. Like there was one spirit that was infused with lion's mane. And so you're getting some other benefits from it too, which I think is really cool that like if you're gonna make a beverage and make a drink without alcohol, that you still feel like you're giving yourself a pop of something. Like why drinking a poppy or an Olipop feels kind of good because it tastes like soda, but you're giving yourself probiotics and prebiotics and like gut health instead. You know what I mean? So it kind of feels adjacent to that when you're having one of these drinks that has other things in it. It's just pretty eye-opening to see all the options that are out there. And the main theme that we ended up talking about when we were answering questions and talking about our different lifestyle balances with alcohol is that there is no right answer to live your life, right? It doesn't have to be black and white. Everyone needs to be sober. Everyone should get behind alcohol, but it is just an area of your life where you should be able to think about it and make your own decisions. And your decision in your mind is allowed to change at different points too. Nobody is going to have the exact same experience with alcohol and relationship with alcohol, just like you're not going to have that same relationship or experience with every single other thing in life. Like we're so unique and we're so unique in our experiences and in our needs. And so at the end of the day, what we talked about the most was being able to just be mindful of your own experience, be mindful of what you want, and just make sure that you're always making decisions for yourself and you're confident in those decisions. Whether that is to have a wine night with the girls, whether that is to have a couple of drinks and go out, or whether that is to go out but choose to be sober because you don't like the effects of alcohol on your body and you don't like how it makes you feel the next day, or whether that is to try to completely plan activities that don't involve alcohol because maybe you feel like your relationships are stronger with people when they don't involve alcohol or when they aren't surrounding that, right? So whatever your decision is and whatever the rationale is, what is most important is that you're making that decision for you and you're being confident in it. Because that decision can change night to night. I know from my experience and in Catherine's experience personally, I've had times of my life where I am unintentionally sober, just for the fact that maybe I'm focusing on other things at that point in my life. Maybe I'm just not that interested in going out. And that happens. And then I've had other times in my life where I have enjoyed going out with my friends a lot. And then most of the time, and I guess where I'm trying to live now is somewhere in that in between where I don't want the majority of my life to revolve around alcohol, but I want to find ways that I can use it and enjoy it when I want to. But the question kind of is, how can you limit alcohol and have more situations and social circumstances that aren't surrounding alcohol in a culture that really pushes alcohol and surrounds everything around alcohol? I mean, whether it's, watching a sports game, alcohol, whether it's going out to dinner, what are you going to get for a drink with that? If everything surrounds a bar and a club and a party and going out and things like that, which I think can be good occasionally, but it does seem sometimes that social events and then therefore a lot of relationships really revolve around alcohol. And so, what do you do when you want to pull away from that and get away from that? That's a pretty hard decision, or that is not an easy circumstance to be in. But I will say that the fact that these non-alcoholic shops exist, the fact that there are so many people who really care about their health and wellness out there shows that you are absolutely not alone in that want when you're experiencing that. There are other people who feel the same way. I feel the same way. And so maybe it starts by you just selectively deciding, like, hey, I'm not gonna drink. I don't have a problem if other people are drinking around me. But maybe there are some times where, like, I just don't want to drink on a weekday night. Or maybe I want to have a drink, but I just do not want to get drunk. It's deciding whatever that is for you. based on the moment and then staying confident in that decision. Because at the end of the day, if you respect other people should respect you back. And so if you can be confident in your choice, be respectful of whatever choice other people are making, if it doesn't necessarily change your relationship or who you guys are as friends, then I would expect people to respect you right back. And if they don't, then they're not the right people to be with anyways. One question we got is, what is something you feel like you would be giving up if you were to not drink alcohol anymore? And I thought that was a really, really interesting question, because we have this fear of like, oh, if I'm not drinking, I am gonna like lose all these opportunities in my social life and things like that. But at the end of the day, when you really think about it, there's a lot more that you lose by drinking alcohol than not drinking alcohol. I was like, oh, well, when I drink, you know, I lose a bit of my control and my freedom in the moment. But also, you know, I lose a good night's sleep. I lose a little bit of my health. I lose sometimes the entire next day when you're not feeling well, or at the very least half a day. There's a lot of things that you lose when you drink alcohol for that short term, you know, gain or whatever it might feel like. But there are not that many things that I think you would actually lose by not drinking alcohol. Because if you lose friends in the process, then it just means that those are friendships that only worked with the inclusion of a substance to begin with. And so those aren't really good friendships at their core to begin with. You know, you might lose mass amounts of friends because there are a lot of people that you probably only see at pregames and at parties and at going out, but you're not actually friends with. And so I think, yeah, you would lose some social element, but you wouldn't lose any of your core deep relationships. If anything, I think it would help you figure out where those core relationships are and help you strengthen them. Something really interesting that Julie said in her experience of being sober was that, you know, she still likes to go out and have fun, and she'll go to bars and she'll do all of those things, and she just chooses not to drink herself. But she said, interestingly, that in her experience, she is approached less by guys at the bar when they know that she's sober. And she said, you know, I used to think that that was kind of like a loss. Like, I felt like, you know, why aren't people talking to me and approaching me? But why would I consider it a loss if somebody is only talking to me when we're both drunk? Like, that is not the right person anyways if they're actively not approaching me when I'm sober, right? Like, if I'm actually meeting a person who's good for me, they're gonna be interested in me sober or drunk or not. So again, it was interesting how everything we brought up as something that would be a loss actually kind of flipped itself around into being a gain in another way. And so as we get into this interview with Julie and you hear more about it, I just wanted to kind of recap what we talked about at the event and also say how incredibly grateful and Catherine and I are for how well this event went. Meeting so many of you was one of the best experiences of my life. Not to be cheesy, but it can be hard putting something out there and remembering that there are people on the other side of it that actually do listen and to, you know, put faces to what otherwise would just be a number, and to hear stories and to meet people in real life. Like, it means absolutely everything to us. And we really, really hope and are planning on this being the first of many community events that we do. So definitely make sure that you're following the podcast on Instagram at Girls With Goals Pod, our personal Instagram accounts at Caroline Kanine and in Catherine Kanine. You can find all of those on TikTok as well, so that you stay up to date with what we're doing and more community events that we're going to offer in the future, because we really, really are excited about that because of how full of love and happiness we left that event with. So again, thank you all who came so much. Thank every single one of you who listens for your support. And so I hope that you enjoy the following conversation with Julie Law.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors. Bettering yourself is so hot. We knew this, we know this, and Julie lives this and shares this every single day. And I'm so, so excited that she's joining us today to talk about why bettering yourself is hot, how to get hot by bettering yourself, and all the values that she brings into her daily life to really live this. When I was thinking through this and I looked at your bio and saw the bettering yourself is hot and every time, it reminds me of this sweat set from Boys Lie that I saw years ago. And it says like on the pants or on the back of the sweatshirt, it says like lack of commitment to bettering yourself is unattractive. And I didn't buy it that day. And I regret it. I should have. I regret it every day since, because now it's not in stock. And I even looked it up today. I was like, do you think maybe like Poshmark has it? Yeah. I feel like we need this.
Someone's decoding it.
Yeah. But that's like exactly what you're doing here. That's the mission. And you just share a glimpse into your daily life, routine, TikTok, Instagram. And she is so good at it, guys, to everyone listening. Once you're done listening, go watch, because she's really good at it. And I eat it up every single time you post.
Thank you.
Just everything to do with the bettering yourself is hot mentality, sharing it. Tell us more about this mission and how you came into the mentality.
Yeah. So basically I feel like all throughout high school, I didn't really have any sort of hobbies. I mean, I did like cheer and I mean, sometimes I go on walks, but nothing I did really fulfilled me that much, I feel. And then I got to college and I had just like a boatload of independence and freedom and free time. And I was like, okay, how am I going to spend this? Like, what am I going to do? So I kind of got into like going to the gym, going on walks, and found out very quickly that that really empowered me, that fulfilled me, and that made me feel good. And I was like, okay, I love like the pursuit of bettering myself. Like, it's so fun. It's so like, it's so, I don't know, it's so fulfilling, obviously. So I kind of just got super into it, like through college, having the time to do it. Yeah, just like finding activities that fulfilled me. I found out really quickly that healthy activities, moving my body, fueling my body, those fulfill me and make me feel good. Yeah. And like bettering yourself and finding like a higher version of you is very fulfilling, and it's like, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. What would you say? Because I know a lot of girls that listen are in that similar age range, everywhere from like high school about to go to college to post grad. So somebody who's maybe making that same transition into college, or maybe they're in school or even post grad, but they haven't started that journey, or like you said, you went to college and you hadn't really gone to the gym before, and that was something new that you found. What would you say to those people who are like, I want to kind of level up, but I just don't even know where that starting point would be?
So I would say implementing habits that are gonna be sustainable to make further changes like in the future. Like I was actually just talking about this because a lot of people are doing the 75 hard right now.
Yeah.
And while like I think that that's great, I do think it's kind of unsustainable if you don't work out, you don't really like have a diet. I think it's so sustainable for 75 days to be like, I need to do two workouts, I need to not drink, I need to like what, read 10 pages, drink a
Yeah.
gallon of water. I think that's like you need to start with little changes that after you're comfortable with those, will start changing into bigger changes. So I would say like at least once a day, moving your body in a way you enjoy. Something I always tell people is like any movement is valuable, is more valuable than no movement at all, because I feel like a lot of people
Absolutely.
are like, I need to go to the gym and I need to lift for 3 hours and I need to bench 4 million pounds, like because they see it on social media and they're like, I don't even know where to start, but I think I need to do that. No, do what works for you. If that's going to the gym for 20 minutes and walking the treadmill, that's great. That's better than nothing. And that's a really good stepping stone to then get comfortable to start
Yeah.
going to weights and start going to the gym for like for an hour rather than 20 minutes. So you really have to start with little changes because those manifest into bigger changes. And when you
Yeah.
go too big, too fast, you're just gonna burn out and that's not sustainable.
Absolutely. What was your progression kind of from where you started? Like, what were those first little habits? And do you think like you had a similar progression of like starting with little habits and then building it into something bigger, or has it been kind of sustained since the beginning?
I feel like it was definitely like little habits and then going into something bigger because, like, what I always talk about is I used to literally hate going to the gym. Like, I hated going to the gym. I never would want to go, but I made myself go every single time. And then it kind of manifests into you enjoying it because it starts to become sort of like a reward. So it's kind of an interesting path from like a task to a reward. But in order to get there, you really have to be consistent with it. So I would go to the gym for like 20 minutes and do like an ab workout and like walk around. I don't really have any sort of structure. And then I was like comfortable with that. So then I started seeing that girls were lifting, and I never knew like that girls could even lift. So I kind of like researched it a little bit. I stumbled upon Whitney Simmons and started doing some of her workouts, and I really liked it. So then I would do like leg workouts because I wanted to grow a big butt. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should start doing like arm workouts because I see people doing that too. Like I didn't even know that girls could do upper body workouts. I thought that was only for guys. So it's kind of like doing the little thing, making the little step, and then learning as you go on how to progress that or like level up. But I think I definitely started small and then leveled up as I went.
I think being in there are two points that I really like. One, from what you said in the beginning, being in high school or before you get to college, even if people are doing sports or have hobbies, it's never really on your own accord. And that is something that when I went from high school to college, I mean, I played sports in high school and was active, but never was I like aware of it. You know what I mean? It was always, oh, the coach is doing this workout. Like, I just attend and somehow I do the things.
Exactly.
But when you get put into college or outside of that setting, when it's all on you, you have to find the motivation. You have to create the workout. You have to go do it and track your progress and know when to make changes to that routine. And it can be really daunting and
You're the
hard to
coach
get
and the
into.
player, so
Yeah. But I think that
yeah.
amount of freedom is really important to making actual changes. And I think it's huge in setting those habits that can keep you going for literally ever. And we talk about this a lot with habits, that it is a forever thing, and that's so daunting. But once you start the healthy habits and it becomes part of who you are, there's no turning back. You don't want to ever stop those things. And
Literally.
that freedom, while at first it can be like, I don't even know where to start, is what keeps you going for a really long time.
And there's so much, like you said, like you, it was less even about going to the gym, but more about loving that process of bettering yourself. I think if everyone can tap into that in any way that makes sense for them, then that's really what the fuel is. It's not even the suddenly I love going to the gym and I used to hate it. It's no, I love this journey of bettering myself and feeling like I'm learning new things. And am showing up and doing better. And, oh, I see someone doing arm workouts. Well, I can do that too and have stronger arms. Or somebody journals every day. That's cool. Like, I should try it sometime. And then you see how that works for you and things like that. So I like your point about making it about that process of bettering yourself.
For sure. And what I feel like a lot of people don't realize, especially in college, is how much time and freedom you really have.
Yes.
And you need to take advantage of those 4 years to establish habits before you go out and you have a 9-to-5 job, or you do whatever, you become an entrepreneur, whatever. And I think it can get tricky, like you said, because all these habits are self-motivated. And it's probably for the first time your health and like bettering yourself is completely in your hands. Like, working out isn't through a school sanctioned sport. Your parents aren't cooking you food. No one's like shaking you to wake you up in the morning.
Yeah.
So it seems overwhelming at first, but it's definitely super liberating because you are fully responsible for the betterment of yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, that's very freeing and liberating. Like, if you don't work out, that's on you. If you don't wake up, that's on you. And while that's like a lot of responsibility, it's also a lot of freedom.
Yeah, that's huge. I think you hear so often people saying like, oh, I can't eat well. I'm a college student. I don't have time to work out. I'm a college student. And I mean, it really is just a shift of mindset, because not to say that being a student isn't hard and time consuming. The three of us are all students. We understand that. We're all still in college, but it's a time where you have so much more free time and independent time than you will ever have in the rest of your life. And so it really becomes a thing about, how am I managing this time? And for the majority of people, I just think we waste a little bit too much time. Like, we're not as productive with our work, and we're procrastinating, and we're scrolling on our phones, and then we're not making time to cook good food or to take ourselves for a daily walk or to get good sleep. And so it becomes very liberating. I like that word that you said, when you decide, actually, no, being a student isn't an excuse. It's actually an advantage right now. And I can plan my time accordingly and use it. Because you really don't have that structure in your life if you're going kind of on a typical career route. You really don't have that, again, where you have all this free time.
Right. You can't just be like, oh, I have a break in between classes from noon to three. Like, that's time to go cook a good meal. That's time to go to the gym, time to go for a walk during the day, rather than if you were working a 9-to-5 or had, you know, all of the adult responsibilities that are kind of put on pause or frozen while you're in college.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot harder to fit in. And so building those habits in college, luckily the culture is changing, I think. And thanks to people like you who do share their college lifestyle, being healthy and making these habits a real priority, it is changing and it's becoming more normal and accepted and easier almost mentally to get into these habits during college than past phases of life. But what do you think are the most important habits to focus on, or top few, if someone wants to start building healthy habits right now in college? What would be your go-to suggestions?
I feel like moving your body in a way you enjoy. It doesn't have to be a certain way. You don't have to lift weights. You don't have to do Pilates. Do whatever makes you excited to work out, because when you actually like the thing you're doing, you're way more like likely to do it. So moving your body once a day in a way you enjoy. I always prioritize getting my steps in, getting my 10,000 steps, walk to class. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a big warm bus, but you know, your podcast on, put your Girls with Goals on and walk to class. Reading self-improvement books. One of, like, I feel like a really good gateway book is Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books. It's a super easy read, and it's also very, like, I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's a good read. And it's very easy to digest, because I feel like some books, like, can be kind of daunting, like, oh, like, the people that read them are like,
crazy. I agree. Power of Habits, like, it's immediately applicable, and it's even motivating when you read it, because you're like, oh, I can do this.
I gotta go. I have things to do. Like, I can't finish this book right now. I have a habit to build. Like,
literally, I have to do my habit stack. waking up early, for me, that's just a huge habit, because it just like, I feel like a lot of people aren't waking up early. So when you wake up early, you feel like you automatically have like 3 more hours than everyone else. And not a lot of people are awake. You have a lot of alone time. I feel like once people start waking up, getting on their phone, texting you, assignments start flying in. That's when you just feel like overwhelmed and jumble brained. And you're like, you can't, sometimes you feel like you can't do anything. So waking up early is definitely a priority for me. In terms of eating, I love like the 80-20 rule, like 80% healthy foods or like, whole foods, and then 20% fun foods. And then, you know, just going to the dining hall and stuff. If you go to the dining hall, making those choices, like taking a lap around and seeing the options they have, seeing what kind of things they offer before you go straight to like the pizza or like something that's not going to be as filling. Because I feel like every habit is really a choice. Like you choose to wake up early. You choose to read the 10 pages. You choose to not drink. You choose to work out. Everything's a choice. And once you get the groove of it and like realize it's actually kind of fun and enjoyable to like to feel healthy and like fuel your body and move your body, it's a lot easier to make those choices.
Yeah for sure. I'm curious what your experience has been in college, because I like, and Catherine was mentioning at the beginning, the culture of college doesn't always foster a super healthy lifestyle the way that people like to lean into it as like, I don't have time to eat healthy, like party every night kind of thing. What has your experience been in college with wanting to maintain healthy habits and that being a big value for you, versus like, do you see a lot of people around you living in the same way, or does it feel very different than the norm in your experience?
So something I always really try to prioritize is to not be so heavily impacted by my environment, because I feel like sometimes it's so easy to be like, oh, well, my friend who's my roommate isn't waking up, so I'm not going to wake up either. My friend is eating a bunch of cookies and pizza. Not that that's bad, but like, that's not the most filling things. I don't want to eat the chicken and the broccoli. Like, I want to do that. It's so much easier to justify behaviors that might not be as conducive to your health when other people are doing them. Yeah. It's just kind of taking a step back and doing what works best for you. And honestly, going against the norm, going against the grain, it's kind of fun. And then you get your friends in on it. And then I feel like everyone kind of realizes, like, no, like, this is fun. It's fun to feel healthy. It's fun to better yourself. It's fun to go on a walk on a Friday night or go to the gym or take a workout class instead of going out. It's fun to do those things. And then when you do those things, you find people and a community who are also doing those things, which will create new friendships. But I also, like, still my friends can do whatever they want. Like, if they want to go out and drink and do whatever, that's perfectly fine, because those are their choices.
It is fun too when you are the person that goes against the grain and you're known for, you know, having your thing that is different than the typical. With just using the example of working out, when someone does maybe want to try a workout class and they're not they don't work out a lot, or they haven't been to a lot of workout classes, they're going to go to you and say, do you want to come with me? And then you get to go with them and have that experience. And like, you get to try something new in the process too. Or if someone, you know, wants tips on recipes or healthy eating, healthy grocery shopping, you can go grocery shopping together. And I think it opens you trailblazing something within a group that maybe doesn't live the same ways as you're living makes it really a lot more comfortable for other people to start picking up those habits or like being more interested in it or whatever it may be. But by you doing that, rather than just saying, I'm going to minimize myself and my interests to, you know, fit the group, when maybe 9 things out of 10, you guys all align on, have that one thing that is just yours and is different than everyone else, that's going to open up conversations. It's going to open up different activities, different experiences. And I think that is really, really important, especially in college when people are kind of coming from high school where, you know, it's harder to do that. And so breaking out of that thought pattern is really huge.
I like it's what you said, that your environment, like, it's easier to make excuses for certain behaviors or to validate them when other people are doing them too, because it's just like, oh, everyone else is doing that. But when you bring it back to yourself and, like you said, take a step back, it is your choice at the end of the day, and it's still your choice regardless of what the people around you are doing.
And that feels empowering. And I think it's a huge confidence builder when you do that. One of my favorite episodes that we've done is called Living Differently Than the People Around You. And we know firsthand, our listeners know firsthand, that sometimes it gets really difficult to stay in environments and stay around people that don't share the same values, maybe about bettering themselves or, you know, taking care of their health and their mental health. What has been your experience in college of finding the right group of people or knowing when an environment is no longer for you?
Like I mentioned, again, I kind of think it's fun to go against the status quo because it has like introduced me to different activities to do with my friends that maybe they wouldn't normally do. And they've introduced me to things that I normally wouldn't do. So like kind of getting each other out of our comfort zones, I think is really important. And yeah, not being like, I don't want to be around these people because they don't do the exact same things as me. Like, don't write someone off just because they're not exactly like you.
Yeah.
Or like you don't, maybe your lifestyles or like the way you live don't necessarily align, because at the end of the day, like just like the fact that you're not doing the same things as me, that doesn't mean that we can't be friends. And again, it's going to give us an opportunity to make each other go out of our comfort zones, because yes, maybe I'm working out and going to the gym, but like my friends that like maybe aren't doing the same things as me are bringing me to things that I wouldn't normally do.
Sure.
You know, everyone's different. Yeah. And don't write someone off just because they're not doing the same things as you. And in terms of like the environment, like I was saying, don't be so heavily impacted by your environment. You, at the end of the day, you have the ability to do whatever you want. If your roommate wakes up at 10 a.m. and you want to wake up at 5 a.m., you can wake up at 5 a.m. And using their behavior as a justification is just honestly an excuse.
Yeah.
So don't be so heavily impacted by other people. Like, you can still have a healthy lifestyle even if other people aren't around you. Yes, would it make it easier if everyone was going to the gym? Like,
Waking up
at the same time as me, eating the same things as me. Yeah, I would, but that's not how the world works. Yeah. So
that makes it less interesting.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Stay grounded in what makes you happy and fulfills you, and don't write people off just because other things fulfill them.
Yeah. I like that advice a lot, because I think a lot of the time we go straight to, if an environment doesn't feel like it's aligned with you, like, leave that environment, find something new. But I really like your advice of, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave that environment. It kind of means don't let the environment affect you as much, because at the end of the day, your choices are still your choices. You can still find valuable things about that environment, even if it's not absolutely perfect, you know?
I agree. And I think I see a lot of conversations on like social media of like, if you want to become like level up and become a healthier person, you have to like cut everyone off mm-hmm. and like cut everything off that like doesn't align with you. Like, no, like that's not really healthy. And I've gone through that like kind of isolation of like, I'm gonna like wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm gonna go to the gym and I'm not gonna talk to anyone. I'm just gonna do stuff that is in the betterment of me. And like, that like, it's not a happy existence.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what are you going to do when you get out from that? Like, oh, I didn't talk to you for a month or 2 months because I was bettering myself. Like, that's not how the world works. Like, you mm-hmm. can't do that. Like, you need to find the ways that you can still implement like social aspects and like other people into the pursuit of bettering yourself. Like,
yeah.
That, because it's not realistic of like, I'm just gonna shut everyone off and like enter my demon era. Like, no.
See the Instagram reel now. It's like darkened, contrasted.
Yes. Like, I'm about to enter my like demon arc. I'm like, why does everything have to be like
the you're going to the gym. It's 5 p.m. on a Wednesday.
You're going to the gym in the morning. Why is that you entering your demon arc? Like, I just don't get it. Like, you can still like be social and have friends and just do the things that make you happy. Like, you don't have to isolate yourself because of it.
Yeah. Right. Because I think a big question with self-growth is like, if you are taking on that, like, if I'm doing this, I'm ignoring everything else, I'm like, I'm only focusing on myself. It's like, well, then that's going to lead you to feel like it's self-growth or nothing, and not like it's something like that you're just naturally growing as you evolve through life. Because
it's not necessarily about I'm going to grow. And then when I feel like I'm satisfied, I'm just going to stop. And then that's the person that I am. Yeah. That's not how, like, you know, like it, you're always doing these things. It has to be just a part of your life.
There, we have an episode that from a couple years ago, I think. And it was a result of me literally having a mental breakdown because we were sitting down to record and we were talking about what we were going to talk about that week. And I just had zero interest in talking about anything to do with like self-development, self-growth, because I felt like everything has to go back to this like demon mode. Like you have to put in the work, you have to be always changing. And like, no, so it just exists. You do these things and implement these habits so that you can exist as yourself. Like those things, those healthy habits, those interests, whatever it may be, are a part of you. And then you take that and show it to other people. You need those other people. You need that environment to put it to use.
You need socialization. And that's why, like, yes, I'm in college and I feel like I kind of do things that are against the college norm, but I still make it a point to obviously like hang out with my friends. I'll go out sober because that's a lot of socialization. I'll go to the sports games. Like I go to the library with my friends. Like there are tons of other things to do than like just cutting yourself off because people aren't doing the same things as you are. Like there's a lot of bridges between like the healthy and like maybe the, I don't want to say unhealthy, like
less, you're less focused on health. I don't know.
Yeah. Like more maybe like bouncing around. Yeah. There's tons of bridges between like people who are really, really focused on their health and maybe people that's not their biggest priority. Like you can still hang out. Like I don't know what happened to social media, especially that everyone's like, well, if you don't prioritize your health, we can't be friends. And if I'm in an environment where people aren't prioritizing their health, I'm not subjecting myself to that environment. And I have to cut myself off and I can't talk to any of you. Like, no, like just make your own choices. Do what fulfills you. You can still be in that environment. Is it gonna be harder? Sure. But that's life.
Right. That's perfect because health might be one value for you. And maybe that's a value that somebody else doesn't have, but that's only one of your values. And I would hope that you have a lot of other values and interests in your life. And then those all give you room to connect with other people too. It's not one difference make or break.
Exactly. One of my favorite friendships is I always say I love people with that. We have the same values, but it manifests differently. And like people that on paper you would not expect, you know, to be best friends with, or people maybe wouldn't expect you two to be best friends, but like it works so well because you have the same values. Makes the best friendships because you both bring very different like perspectives and things to say to the table. And I was hanging out with my friend once and she was like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym after this. Like I have to go to the gym before it closes. And I was like, oh, sick. Like, what are you working out? Does not go to the gym. So I'm all for it. I'm super excited. She goes, I'm just going to tan. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like we just went for a walk. We walked our dogs, like filled each other in on all of the tea. And I'm sitting there like, I'm eating it all up. She's eating it all up. And then we go do our different things.
Yeah.
And it works so well. And it just, it's the best. And you get such a different perspective. Yeah. You get a different energy. You get just like the differences in, you can't cut people off because they don't live exactly like you. One, that's so boring. Like you said, when you isolate yourself, it makes life boring. Like you need these things to give plot points to your life. It makes it interesting. It makes it something that you can apply these things to. You go show yourself off. Like you put in the work by yourself, like go show it off out in public. You need the public.
Yeah.
I agree. And I feel like society puts people like who like prioritize their health, like, and wake up early and work out a million times a day, like on this huge pedestal. And we forget that, like, first of all, everyone has flaws. Second of all, maybe people who don't do those things still hold these incredible values. And I always say it, like, because sometimes my friends will be like, oh, I wish I could wake up. Like, I wish I could wake up that early. And I wish I could go to the gym, like, as much as you or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well, here are five things that you do that I wish I could do. Like, you hold so many important values that, like, I can't do. Like, maybe I am strong in some aspects of my life, but you're strong in these aspects. Yeah. And we can like help each other and talk to like, you know,
yes,
to better
together. I love that because I'll have some friends and if they complain and they're like, oh, like I haven't been as active as I want to recently, or like, oh, I haven't been to the gym in so long, I have to go. And I'm like, you're literally like pre-med, or you're literally going to be a surgeon, or you're literally, I'm like, I can't do the things that you're doing.
Or I always use art as an example too, because I feel like that's considered the opposite of like, hobby wise, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People who are really good at art and they draw, like if I spend hours like working out, cooking, whatever it may be, like other people are spending hours on their hobbies. Maybe you skateboard, maybe you like ski, maybe you draw. I cannot draw for shit. Maybe you're sing, like maybe you play an instrument, like play guitar. Yeah. I can't do that stuff. That's your thing. Everyone has their things, their interests, things that take up their time and their thoughts, whatever it may be. And those are all equally valuable.
Exactly. And you can't do it all. Like if you're super like into a hobby, like art, music, whatever, I don't expect you to like be waking up super early and like going on a million walks and going to the gym for like 45 hours. Like I literally, and I'm sure you guys do too, it's your hobby. You enjoy it. And I have other hobbies. And guess what? This is my hobby. And I don't have any other hobby.
Right,
I don't do anything musical. I don't do anything art. Like, this is my hobby.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's how I explain fitness as well as also content creation, which you probably have a similar experience in, when people are like, how do you keep up with that with school? And I'm like, yeah, I'm busy and it can be hard, but I'm not in a club. I'm not in a sorority. I don't do a sport. I'm like, you're filling your time with something like that as well. That's a commitment, but in a different way. Yeah. I don't have those commitments. This is my commitment, you know?
Okay. So let's talk about sobriety, especially while in college. Damp lifestyles, dry lifestyles.
Yeah. They're becoming
way more accepted, way more popular, which is so,
so
awesome. Good. Like, it's just, great that you don't get as much pushback as you did even a couple years ago for choosing not to drink. Maybe it's like for one night, maybe it's for a week, maybe it's forever, whatever it is. But being sober sometimes feels like you are going against the grain. Again, like we said, as someone, me, who's damp, like that's a word, that's like a sobriety word, damp, dry.
Like in between.
I don't drink super often. I don't drink a ton that often. But sometimes it can be taxing to spend time with friends whose entire social life revolves around drinking. And that's where I feel like the maybe change your environment sinks in, is if it just doesn't align at all, or no one wants to do an activity anymore. Because there are people who are like, oh, sorry, I don't like, let's all they want to do is go out. But there are so many people, and the majority of people are so for it, so in support of anyone who doesn't want to drink, who wants to go out not drinking. What is your relationship with going out sober in college and navigating that experience and finding the people who do support it?
Yeah. So like, honestly, I started off, so I'm a junior now. I started off going to college, like kind of like indifferent about like going out culture. I kind of engaged in it. And then one night, freshman year, I just got a little too crazy. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, this is not worth it to me. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't fun. I had anxiety for literally days. It was kind of my last straw. Like, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I kind of like quietly went like sober, or sober curiosity. And then I started posting it on social media, and that's when people kind of figured it out. And honestly, I've only had like positivity come from it. People being like, that's so awesome, that's so cool. A lot of questions I get like on my videos, I talk about kind of being sober in college, is like, I'm scared my friends won't include me or won't like me if I don't want to drink. And if people don't like you because you're not engaging in a certain activity that you feel doesn't fulfill you, like those honestly are people that you should not be surrounding yourself with. Like that's the one thing that I'm like, that's the kind of environment you don't want to be in, because that's not people that really care about uplifting you, and they kind of want you to drink selfishly so like everyone can be whatever engaging in habits maybe they don't think are really good, and they want to justify them more. So don't surround yourself with people that like care if you drink or not. And I'm so fortunate that I have friends that do not care what I do, because why, like, me drinking doesn't impact them. Right. They just care that I'm there and that, like, we're spending time together. And if your friends like to go out on Friday nights and you don't want to go out, go to dinner with them beforehand and then, like, have a quiet night in by yourself, or go get coffee the next day and they can tell you, like, the silly stories.
Yeah.
You can't really dictate what your friends do. Maybe you have to stay in some nights alone, but find other pockets of time throughout the weekend that you can hang out. It doesn't always have to be, like, Friday and Saturday nights.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Watch a movie on a Friday or Saturday night, and also, like, maybe go places that are not the bar, like go to the gym and see who you see there. Oh, mm-hmm. You're not going out? Go, like, connect with those people.
Yeah.
And that's, like, also something I always think about in terms of relationships, because I feel like a lot of times people are like, oh, like, I need to go out. Like, what if I may meet my future husband? If you don't like going out, you don't like drinking, why would you meet?
That's not where you're going to meet him.
Or, like, your future husband when you're out. Like, no, like, go to the places where someone you would be really compatible with would be. Like, maybe that's a gym. Maybe that's the movies. Like, stuff like that. And if you do go out sober, which I do a bunch, just always have it, like, have something in your hand. And if someone comes up to you, oh, like, do you want to try? Like, why aren't you drinking? I just don't like to, like,
or just like, no, I'm good. No one's ever turned you down for no, I'm good.
Exactly. I'm good.
I think that's super important. I remember even, like, in high school or freshman year of college, even, like, I just really wasn't that interested in drinking at all. And when people started drinking in high school and I would go and I just wouldn't really want to, I feel like there was so much pushback because people are, like you said, kind of trying to justify their behaviors that they're questioning by bringing other people in. And not even to say that that's bad, like, I do drink sometimes, but at a time where I just wasn't interested at all, I was like, why are people questioning this so much? Exactly. And not just letting people make their own decisions. And I remember even, like, in those moments, then I would stop getting invited to social things. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, we just know you won't drink anyways. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not
okay.
I'm not saying anything about, like, I'm still respecting your decision. So I also like what you said about, like, I don't dictate what my friends do, and that doesn't really affect me, is I think that if you can respect other people for their choices, they can respect you, and you guys can find that mutually. It really doesn't have to be such a charged thing.
100%. Like, something I always think about is, like, I'm not at the bar, like, asking everyone why they're drinking, like, because I don't care. Yeah. So I hope no one comes up to me and asks why I'm not drinking. Like, it's a mutual respect kind of thing. I don't care what you're ingesting because it doesn't impact me. Well, I mean, unless you're doing something dangerous. I don't care what you're doing. You don't care what I'm doing. It doesn't really impact us, especially I feel the people that ask the most, like, oh, like, are you drinking tonight? Are the people that are, like, not my friends. Like, the If I right. literally didn't matter if I was stone cold sober or like blackout drunk, it wouldn't impact me them, like, because right. we're not friends.
Yeah.
But they're always the people that ask. I'm like, yeah. why does it matter to you? So yeah, yeah, just like, be confident in your decisions. Like, don't let anyone sway you, mm-hmm. and know that like, if people are your actual friends, they don't care if you're like,
right.
you know, saying something.
Yeah. It's a good test. You should not have to justify anything to people who are actually your friends.
Right. Whether it be alcohol or literally any other yeah. decision in your life.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thought process with that.
Rule of thumb.
Good rule of thumb.
Good rule of thumb. Also, when you do get more confident in your decision on just yourself in general, it's so much easier to be like, oh no, I'm good. Or to go out and have the time of your life yeah. and not feel like you have to drink just because that's what's going on around you, something or do the same thing. That's
going on you. It's like, if everyone around you is drunk, by some sort of like law, you're kind of drunk too.
It's because the vibes. It's the vibes.
Say, like, anything you say, like, maybe you are drunk, maybe you're not drunk. Like, who knows? Like, you know, like, literally, who knows? So, by transitive property, you are also drunk.
That's so funny. By transitive property, and then you remember it, and you wake up fine the next morning.
Yes.
And then you get to retell the stories.
Yes.
Also, if you're at a bar, no bartenders ever. If you ask for water or literally just sparkling water, no bartender is ever gonna not be like, sick, go off, like, coming right up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I get, sometimes I'll like ask for a Diet Coke and I get it for free.
Wow, that's so nice. Yep.
Cause they don't have it in them to charge $3 for Diet Coke when they're like,
literally,
it comes in the soda gun.
Yeah.
Like, this was literally. 4 cents.
Literally.
All right. So you were hot before. No arguments there, and you're hot now, but recently you have made some really amazing physical changes that show just how committed you are to doing the things you say you're going to do, putting the time and effort in, into the gym, into your hobbies. So talk to us a little bit about what made you want to change your body composition, want to go all in, take your physical appearance to like the next level and the gym to the next level. How'd you do it? How are you feeling now? Give us a scoop.
Yeah, so obviously, like, fitness is a huge realm of my identity and my life, and I'm Julie LaFitte. Like, I go to the gym all the time. Like, I thought I was eating really healthy, and one day, I remember I was at the gym, and I was doing, like, an upper body workout, and I looked in the mirror, and I was like, I'm just, like, not that satisfied. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly discouraging to go to the gym time and time again, go to the gym every single day, eat what you think is healthy, and I was, like, going on runs and stuff, and then not feel confident in your body. Like, obviously, like, I go to the gym because it's a great way for, like, me mentally. Like, I look forward to going to the gym every single day, but it's also, like, I want to reap benefits physically. Yeah.
It's still so much about self-confidence mentally and
exactly.
physically.
Exactly. So I kind of was, like, okay, what am I doing that I could change? Because I feel like you are kind of like on this, like, this groove, and then you have to make changes, like, eventually. And I feel like I was just doing the same things for, like, literally months, and I wasn't seeing any sort of improvement. So I was like, okay, what can I do to level up? So I kind of tapped into what I was eating. I talk about this a bunch on my, like, social media, but every time I would eat, like, what I thought was healthy, I just feel, like, gross and bloated and just, like, inflamed. So I took a food inflammation test, and it came back that I was, like, dairy and eggs, or not dairy and eggs, dairy and gluten, like, inflamed me. Yeah. So I was like, okay, for 8 weeks, I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to see how it goes. And honestly, like, nowadays, that is super easy to do, considering just how many gluten-free, dairy-free options there are. Like, but something I do want to emphasize is, like, just because it worked for me doesn't mean it's mm-hmm. going to work for everyone. Like, everyone is different. So I did that, and then I honestly took more rest days. When I started implementing more rest days into my, like, workout routine, I feel like I saw a lot of benefits, because a lot of people forget you grow in your rest, you grow in your sleep, and people are like, oh, I have to go all in, and I have to work out for, like, 40 hours a day, and I have to go on, like, a million runs, and I'm going to look so good. And then you just, like, there is a thing as, like, doing too much in fitness, especially. So, like, kind of taking a step back, letting myself rest more, focusing on my sleep, focusing on my recovery. That really helped. And also just like making one change is going to make you feel comfortable to like make bigger changes. And I feel like that's kind of the theme I have on my page. Like, no, I don't think that everyone forever is going to do their little shy girl workouts in the corner and just use a pair of dumbbells and do a 4-day split. No, but that's going to make you comfortable in the environment to then go venture to do different things. So just like making little changes that are going to make you comfortable to make bigger changes. Like if you would have asked me 2 years ago, like go gluten and dairy free and go to the gym 5 times a week and get over 10,000 steps and all this stuff, I would have said no. But it's just a progression of my fitness journey that I'm comfortable enough to do those changes and like try it out. And I feel like people like are so comfortable in their fitness routine that they're scared to like try new things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just got to take the leap and take the risk. And like, this is a fitness journey. It's not like it's a marathon, not a race. Is that the right?
Marathon, not sprint. Not
a sprint. Oh yeah. Marathon.
Yes.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. You don't have to go like all in. It's kind of a progression of like what you're comfortable with changing and like tweaking things here and there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like finding what works for you.
My favorite thing to ask guests to talk about with guests is your ideal day. And I am so excited to hear your ideal day, because when I think about my personal ideal day, like it is time stamped, it's planned, it's full. Like I know it in my mind. Yeah. And I have a feeling that you're going to be the same way too.
I'm going to be very intricate with this.
Yes. No, please do. Give us all the details. I want to know what like an ideal typical day in your life looks like for you. Everything goes right. Everything goes
like
to plan.
At school or at home?
Maybe at school.
At school, like when you're in your routine.
Yeah, at home it's a little different. But so at school, my ideal day is definitely a Saturday. So I would wake up on a Saturday. I feel like I would wake up at like 6. I usually wake up like 4:45 during the week, but it's a Saturday and we didn't go out the night before.
Right.
We do, because I like to stay in Friday. So it's a Saturday. I wake up. I'm feeling refreshed. I'm turning off my Hatch alarm clock, which I recommend everyone get because it's a sunrise alarm clock. And it's amazing. So then I wake up. So at 6, and then by 6:05, I'm making my bed. I'm doing my daily devotionals. I'm finding a nice Bible verse to fuel my day and kind of set intention for the day. Then I am going and I'm making my peanut butter rice cakes bloobs with cinnamon on top as a pre-workout snack. And then I am going to the gym. And usually on Saturdays, I will do a pull day, which is perfect because pull days are my favorite days. So I'm driving on the gym and I like to listen to Taylor Swift on the way to the gym because who doesn't?
Right.
I'm getting pumped up for my workout, drinking my Rise energy drink in the sour punch flavor with a straw, and getting hyped up. And then I'm going, getting in the gym, doing my pull day, leaving. I forgot that I'm not even time stamping this. I'd probably leave by like 8:30 because I like to dilly dally around the gym. Yeah. Honestly, it takes me a while.
I waste too much time, but it's fun.
I love leaving and I'm like, oh my God, I've been here for hours.
Like I'm like, oh, I have so many things to do. And I was just like, I'm going to like a trance when I'm at the gym. Like,
yeah,
sometimes I have to set a timer because I'm like, okay, it's literally been like 2 hours. I need to leave. So I'm leaving the gym. And if this is an ideal day, this is a fall day, obviously, because I'm from New England. Like, I love fall. I eat, sleep, breathe fall. So I'm going to get a coffee. I'm going to get a medium iced almond milk latte, obviously.
Nice.
And then I'm going to Horse Barn Hill, which is a little like hill walking.
Is this the white picket fence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Love it.
At UConn. And I'm going to see all the horses waking up. Aww. And it's like the most peaceful vibe. I'm listening to Phoebe Bridgers, which like a little sad, but I like to listen. She's my favorite.
I love sad music sometimes.
Oh, it's like so bad. Me and my friend.
It makes you happy, honestly.
It's emotional. It makes you feel like you're feeling something.
Literally, my friend was like, oh, my New Year's resolution is to like not listen to sad music. I was like, that would like be very sad for me, right? Though. Because I wouldn't listen to music I like. Like calm music. Yeah. I'm vibing, I'm getting my steps, and then I'm going home and I'm showering and then I'm getting ready because it's a UConn Darty day. Okay. And I'm so excited. And I'm gonna go over to my best friend Liv's house and we're gonna have fun. And she like always pours me a little poppy in a disco ball cup. Sweet. So special. So I'm gonna drink my poppy, then we're gonna go to the UConn Darty, which UConn has really good darties. We're not really a football school, we're a basketball school, but we still like to have fun at the darty. I'm mingling, I'm having fun, I'm dancing. Something about me that I really don't talk about is I am the queen of the elevated surface.
Okay.
I
like on the dance
that is
floor.
Mine. Yeah, right. Because that's the only way I keep myself entertained is like dancing, like actually crazy. And I mean, some people are like, oh my God, are you on the dance team? I'm like, no.
But you did say you used to cheer. So I'm sure you have it.
I have some moves. So by this time we're leaving the Darty, it's probably 3 o'clock. There was a lot of time in between there, but it's 3 o'clock now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is my favorite spot.
Grilled chicken nuggets.
Grilled chicken nuggets, always like my favorite food. We're hiking to Chick-fil-A.
I actually have never had it, and it's always been on my list. I'm like, next time somebody
never had Chick-fil-A.
We didn't really grow up doing like fast food, and I don't think there's a Chick-fil-A near me. And so I almost feel
they
like
made
I would,
one.
Like,
they
go
put
out
one in
of
Boston.
My way for it. But we were on a road trip with friends the other day, and they were like Chick-fil-A, and I was like,
yes,
this is my opportunity. Let's stop. And then it was closed or something, and I missed it.
Oh, because it was it Sunday?
Something like that.
Literally, it's funny because like every time me and my friends want to go to Chick-fil-A, it's always Sunday.
They're
like,
closed every Sunday.
Yeah. And it's like,
but this is a Saturday, so.
But this is a Saturday, so we're in the green zone. So then we go to Chick-fil-A, and I'm laughing with my friends, and we're laughing because I love to laugh with my friends and make jokes. Obviously, who doesn't?
Yes.
And we're gonna go home. And maybe I'll like take another walk because it's fall and it's pretty. And like,
this is also really important because all of your friends are taking a nap.
Yes. So I have to find something to fill the time. And
right.
Something I like to do, it's so funny. I like to like sometimes, like the bars are on campus, kind of like you can walk past them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll like put on a hat and like my headphones and like walk past. I never see anything. I just like, it's just funny because I'm like, this is like whatever.
Who's
I literally
here?
Look
Who's
like,
here?
I look like Joe from You.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. It's like, giving you
literally. So I like to walk past the bar sometimes, take walks. And something I love about being at school is that there's obviously like lights everywhere. Because like at home I can't take a walk at 5 o'clock because it's
right.
dark out. But I'll take a walk and then I'll go home, get into comfy PJs. And honestly, like something weird that I like to watch that like on like Fridays and Saturday night, I like to watch those like body cam videos of like the cops. Have
okay.
you guys seen those?
Oh, when they come up on TikTok, I do sit through the entire thing.
On like YouTube. I don't know why.
Oh my God, that's so neat.
Thing. It's so
No, but
random.
you get sucked into them. You know, you want to know how it ends. You do.
I know. Like I'm not a huge show watcher, not a big like movie watcher. I really love watching YouTube, but like the most random stuff. So like honestly, for the rest of the night, I'm probably doing that and then going to bed.
Very
and
nice.
I just had a perfect day, except I forgot I didn't get lunch, but I had ground turkey and cauliflower rice and broccoli somewhere in there.
Okay,
but yeah, just like an active, social, fun day that like with
has relax. it has everything you need.
Yes, friends, fitness,
downtime.
I love how balanced the day was, and I also love that you included dancing and laughing and smiling as details
part
of
my
day.
Yeah,
that's
very important parts of your day. And also we would get froyo. I forgot that. I love
I oh my God, we were visiting a friend.
Do that enough. No, I
went to a couple months ago
in London.
I don't know if Boston has any. But my friend ordered it when we were visiting her, and it was the best thing I've ever tasted. And like, I hadn't had it in months.
Literally,
or in years, I think.
I saw this tweet. It was like, I know that like there are way too many frozen yogurt shops in 2013, but did we have to close all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have to close all of them?
Literally, I was like, why is the closest Froyo 30 right. minutes?
I need the tart. It needs to be sour. It needs to be sweet. It needs to be cold. It needs to be creamy.
Are you guys like a chocolatey Froyo or fruity? I'm fruity.
I would probably go more probably fruity for Froyo.
Like original Froyo. Yeah, I think honestly, strawberries.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's
like fruity.
That
pebbles.
Sounds really good.
I'm a chocolatey ice cream person. Like if I'm gonna like do ice cream, I'm gonna do like the peanut butter cups and fudge and all of that. But for Froyo, I feel like a fruity vibe is the way to go.
I know. And my friends always get like peanut butter, like cups and like M&Ms. I'm like, no. Right. Why aren't getting pebbles?
Oh, now can we go find some?
Yeah, we should.
That sounds really good.
For you. So good. Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming on Girls with Goals. We're so grateful to have had you on the show and get to chat with you and share it with all of our listeners. I hope that everyone listening also feels motivated to get on the bettering yourself is hot wave now. So where can all of our listeners go and find you after the show?
My Instagram is at JulieLawFit, JulieLaw Fit, FIT. And that's for TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that's all. Those are all my handles, I believe. Just TikTok and Instagram. But
perfect.
Yeah.
And we'll link it in the show notes below. So you guys can just click on over, check it out. If you're coming from watching Julie's TikToks or following her on Instagram, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed this little glimpse into her life and her experience, and stick around for some more Girls with Goals episodes. Again, so glad we got to do this. This has been a long time coming and I've been so excited about it. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to listen.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.